Good evening, brothers and sisters. Blessings to you tonight. Good to see each one of you here this evening. This is the last night of our meetings here for this group of meetings. I just want to say that I have really enjoyed being here. There were several things that happened this weekend for me that were of tremendous encouragement. Particularly in visiting with some of you and talking to some of you, seeing some things that God has done. It's just been beautiful and marvelous. And I'm rejoicing in that, and I am glad, very glad for that, glad to see God at work in the body of Christ here in this place. I know there are a lot of needs, I know there are a lot of challenges, but I want to encourage you. I want to strongly encourage you to continue on in the faith and continue to follow Christ and to do His will every single day, to give yourself fully to Him, and just praying that God will meet the needs that are here and that God will show Himself to be strong and mighty in your midst. And He will do those wonderful works that we talked about on Friday night, whereby we can praise Him with our lips. So, thanking God for that. Also glad that my family can be with us here tonight. They have finally arrived. And so, welcome, ladies. Glad to have you here. Miss them, but things just didn't work out the best. But here they are, and I'm very glad that they are with us tonight. When I was preparing for the time here, there were the messages that I've already shared that I kind of felt led to share, and then the one for tonight, it just kind of was back and forth and kind of all over the place, and couldn't really come to a real strong direction, I would say, but I feel led tonight that I'm going to preach from Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians 6. Starting at verse 1. And the message is probably going to be a little bit different in terms of my approach and style. I'm probably going to share more personal things here tonight, and usually preach from notes. I don't have any notes tonight, and so I'm just preaching more out of my heart. I've been meditating on this subject for quite a while, and it's interesting how God works to kind of lead you into certain topics and issues and problems and scripture and things. And this is one that I've just been musing over for quite some time. And yeah, I see tremendous challenges in this area. I see wherever I go, I meet people that share stories. Stories about their childhood, stories about their parents, things that have happened. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of hurting people. There are many, many people who are trying to deal with what the Bible calls the sins of the fathers and the mothers. And it's very difficult and very challenging. So tonight we want to look at this subject. Let's join together here for a word of prayer tonight. Father, we come to your throne tonight seeking your face, O God, looking for you to work in our midst here this evening. We pray that your Spirit would touch every heart. We pray that you would reveal the truth of your holy word. Lord, you would also work to provide direction, to provide encouragement, to provide truth, to provide healing, comfort, all of the various needs, Father, that are present here tonight. We pray that you might work in every heart and that we would experience the moving of your Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost among us. And Father, pray that you would open our eyes, give us ears to hear tonight. Pray that we would be able to look in our own hearts, in our own experience, and bring those needs to you. Bring whatever pain might be there, whatever difficulty might be there, whatever problems we're facing, to be able to bring them to you and to find the help that we need. And so, Lord, we are asking you to work among us. We're asking you to do the great things that only you can do. And we pray that you would lead us tonight. I pray that you would guide me, Father, that you would give me the unction from on high. Fill me with the Spirit of God that I might be a faithful messenger for you here this evening and be able to speak words which are a blessing and a help to your people. And I pray for these things in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. I am the one of eight children in my family. There were four boys and four girls, and I was the fifth born. I grew up in the area where we live now, which is the Altoona area of Pennsylvania, if you're familiar with that, central Pennsylvania. And our family was involved in the Church of the Brethren. We were kind of in the regular Church of the Brethren, that type of a church. That's where I grew up. And that was a lot of my church experience up until I would have been in my late teens and early 20s when I became connected with some other churches within the Church of the Brethren. And there was a time there in my life as a young man where God really worked just tremendously in my life and did amazing things for me. God drew me to himself. God led me. God met my needs. God helped me in the area of repentance. God blessed me with salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's the reason that I'm here tonight, is because of the work of God in my life, and I thank him for that. In our family, my parents were was an original marriage for them, and like I said, there were eight children born. And yeah, growing up, I would say that I did not I only knew what I knew. I only knew what was happening, okay? I only had the environment that we were in that was normal, that was life. That's the way things were. So I didn't maybe see some of the challenges and some of the difficulties that my parents had until I was in probably in my teenage years, and then some things started to become really evident. And then eventually there were a variety of problems. And I want to share some of those here tonight with you and some things that I have learned and things that God has done. But I want to read at this time Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is another verse I'd like to turn to in Colossians chapter 3. Two verses, actually. Colossians 3, starting at verse 20. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So I want to say tonight, up front, that I want to share some personal things, and I want to do it in a way that is respectful to my parents. My parents are both deceased, and I truly believe that if they could share their voice at this time, that they would be completely in favor of me sharing the things that I'm going to share. And so I want to say that I love my parents. I appreciate everything that they have done for me. And there are some really, really good things that they have done for me. And we never went without food. We always had a good place to live. My parents never abused me. They never mistreated me, as far as I can remember. And I am very, very thankful for that. We always went to church. That was one thing that was really big for my dad, is to go to church. And so we faithfully went to church week after week. And that's probably the thing that I appreciate the most, is that through my parents and doing that very thing for me, they gave me the opportunity to come in contact with the Word of God and with God Himself. And it's made all the difference in my life. So I'm thankful for them, and I appreciate them very much. Now, when you read this passage here in Ephesians 6 or the one in Colossians, I think it's pretty straightforward what's presented here. There is a responsibility that children have to their parents. Two things are highlighted. One is to obey them. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the right thing to do. This is what God wants us to be doing. And also, honor your father and mother, to give them honor. Now, if you remember last night, if you were here last night, we talked about one of the tools that we looked at in marriage was the tool of honoring. Do you remember that? Okay. And so, if you recall, what I shared at that time was this. There is honor that is due, and that honor we want to give. We cannot honor for sin. We cannot honor for things which are dishonorable. But we can honor in spite of those things. Okay, and so when we look at this situation here with father and mother, we can keep that in mind. If there are things that our parents have done which were not right, or sins that they have committed, we cannot honor them for that, and God doesn't expect us to do that. That's not what He's saying in this verse. But still, we can give them the honor that we are able to give. And that is definitely what we want to do. The result of being a good child, obedient and honoring one's parents, is that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And this is actually a reference back to the Old Testament law. But there is a blessing here when we obey our parents, and when we honor our parents. And so I want to say to all of us, because all of us are children, no matter what our age is, right? We all have parents. So I want to say to all of us, we want to recognize what God is telling us here, and we want to do that. And One of the ways that you train yourself to obey God as a child is by obeying your parents. When you do well at obeying your parents, you are going to be in an excellent position to be able to obey God. So like I said, the scripture is pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward, I think. But there are some questions that I have, and maybe some questions that you have as well. I don't know. What do you do as a child if your parents are completely in the wrong on certain things? If they are mistreating you? If they are living in sin? How do you approach these scriptures, and what is God's expectation for us when there are things with parents that are not pleasing to the Lord? Okay. Now, I think there's a little bit of a clue here for us in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice the phrase, in the Lord. So what I take that to mean is there is a balance here where there is a responsibility of parents and a responsibility of children. Okay, and it comes out especially in verse 4. Like I said, when I interact with different people and meet people all different places, I just hear different stories and different situations and different problems. And it actually has been a really, really a great concern for me. And I've wondered, how can we help people who have traumatic experiences, great difficulties in being raised, parents perhaps who have failed in some very significant ways. How can we help people to recover from that and be able to experience the healing power of God and move ahead in their lives with the blessing of the Lord and in truth and in righteousness? So that's been a question of mine. I remember listening to a sermon years ago. It was probably at this point, maybe 20 years ago. Brother was preaching. He was older than I am. I would guess at that time he was probably 60, 65 years old. And this brother was sharing, and he was sharing with some emotion, how he always wanted his father's love. He always wanted his father's approval, but he never could get it. You know, it never happened. And he wanted to give his dad a hug. And he said he finally did before his father died. He gave his father a hug at that point in life. And I mean, he was a mature man at that time. And it's not that his father didn't love him, but that is, his father did not know how to express love. Okay, he didn't know how to show him love. And therefore, there was a need there in his heart and in his life that was not met. And he was sharing that experience. I can still remember it. Can still remember it tonight very clearly. So I want to say to the parents here tonight, we have a tremendous responsibility in caring for the children that God has given to us. The children that God has put in our care, we have a huge responsibility to treat them well, to help them, to love them, to bring them up, as it says in verse 4, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does nurture and admonition mean? Nurture, to nurture something is to make it grow, to make it healthy, to make it good, to make it right. Admonition there, another word would be discipline. The idea in both of these is training and raising properly so that a child actually can become the person that God wants that child to be. And so that is our responsibility as parents. And I want to say this to the children that are here, and really to all of us, because as I said, all of us are children, even if we're adults. It is a very difficult job. It is much harder than what you may realize as a young child. And we do make mistakes, and we do sometimes fail as parents. And when we make mistakes and when we fail, we need to say it out loud. We need to let it be known. We need to seek out our children and to do our best to remedy whatever it is that we have done that has been wrong, where we have sinned against them, where we have failed them. Whatever it is, we need to be open and honest and humble and do everything that we can do to clear those issues. Because if we wound our children and if we mistreat our children, even if it's not intentional, what happens is, verse 4 says, you are provoking your children to wrath. That is, you are stirring up wrath and anger, in your children. Okay? You're provoking them. You are causing for them problems, okay, that can easily result in anger, bitterness, wrath, frustration, hatred, as it says there in Colossians, discouragement, and on it goes. Okay? And I want you to understand it's very important for us as parents to clearly understand this. This is not a hypothetical situation. This is an actual thing that is happening. And even though we are believers in Jesus Christ, it may be happening with us. And so we need to just examine our hearts. We need to be open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Need to definitely be open to what your spouse may share with you about the way that you treat your children, the way that you speak to your children, the way that you work with them and handle them, and the way you discipline them or correct them. There are a lot of things here that you need to be aware of and need to be open to, so that you do not end up provoking your children to wrath. You also need to be open to what other brothers and sisters may have to share with you, because sometimes we can't see it ourselves. And so, if someone talks to you, if someone shares with you, you need to be open to that. I think of a situation a number of years ago where there was a woman that was not properly raising her child, and it's a relative of mine. And I was watching this over a period of time, and I was just realizing this child was out of control. The child was in charge. The child threw all the temper tantrums and all of those things. And we know children do that sometimes, but it's our responsibility to deal with that and correct it, which wasn't happening. And it was just a situation that was, the mother was distressed, and it was very difficult. And I remember just asking the Lord, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? Is it something that I should share, or is this something that I should not share? And I had a lot to lose in that situation, because if I share and it's not received well, you know how that goes. It's just, it's not well appreciated. And then that can create a challenge in our relationship. But I sensed the Lord leading me to share, and I did that very thing. And I still remember it was just such a beautiful experience. I just took this woman through the scriptures. I said, you know, the scripture says this. Why don't you read this verse? And she did, and we talked about it, and then we would read another verse, and we would talk about it, and I'd read something else, and I would share some of my experience and share what God actually wants in raising children, until there was one point in the discussion that she said, I don't know if I have the exact wording, but she basically said what's mentioned here in verse 4. She said, yeah, I'm provoking my child to wrath. And she was grieved. She was completely grieved. And she made a change, and the change was noticeable. It was very noticeable. And things began to change with the child. And, you know, it's an ongoing learning experience. There's still additional things that she can learn as a parent, and there are things that I'm still learning as a parent. But there was a situation where God led me to share with her, and it actually made a difference. Made a difference in her life. It made a difference in her daughter's life. And things have gone much better since that time. So be open. Be open to that. And also, this might be even harder, be open to what your children are telling you. Okay? Some parents do not seem to have ears to hear that their children are actually telling them. Sometimes they tell you with words. Sometimes they tell you with actions. Okay, but your children will communicate with you one way or the other. And you need to be open to learning from what they say. So sometimes our children will actually show us, this is what's wrong, okay? This is what you're doing that is making things hard on me. This is how you've mistreated me. This is what you've done. There are some things that parents do sometimes that cause tremendous damage in children. We need to be aware of those things. Abuse is one of them. Sexual abuse is a horrible thing, and sadly that happens in some cases. It is grievous even to think about. Physical abuse in discipline, where the Bible does teach proper spanking of children, it does very clearly let us know that children must be corrected when they are doing what is wrong. And that there's nothing wrong with that. And proper spanking is not physical abuse. I want to be clear about that. However, when you are angry as a parent and you strike your child, there is a danger there of abuse. I'm not saying every time that happens that it is abuse, but there is a danger. And you must understand that. and you must guard against that. And I would encourage you very strongly not to discipline when you are angry and when you are not in your control of yourself. That is not a time to be disciplining your child, either with verbal discipline or especially with physical discipline, because that can go into abuse very quickly and you don't even realize what's happening. Okay? Very, very dangerous. Another problem is being a critic, being a fault finder, always pointing out everything that is wrong in your children, every little thing, whether real or imagined, the words that you speak, seldom is heard in this type of family, an encouraging word, sadly to say, but the discouraging things are heard every day. They point out every flaw, every problem, every negative thing that you see, whether it's real or imagined. If you are a critic as a parent, and again, there is a time to show faults, there is a time to correct, there is a time to address issues, deficiencies, things that need to change, and that can be challenging to do that in the right way, but to just criticize and put down, that causes tremendous damage. I'll share a story with you. There's a certain family that I know. I don't know very well because we don't live in the same area, but I come across this family on occasion. Could go years in between when I see them. But I've seen them a number of times over a number of years. There's something about this family that concerned me. And I'll tell you what it was. I never saw them smile. They never smiled. The father didn't smile. The wife did not smile. They had a number of children. None of the children smiled. And as I would observe them, they looked glum. They looked sullen. And as time went on, there were some different problems, and they come to learn that the dad is apparently a critic. Okay? Always putting down, always negative, always, you're a failure, you're this, you're that, you don't do this right, you don't do that right. And I could see the results. I could see the results just in observation. There's no happiness there. There's no joy. And people are, as it says in Colossians, both the children and the wife, discouraged. Okay? That's what's actually happening. And so, as fathers and mothers, we need to be very careful not to be a critic and be someone that is constantly putting our children down. The opposite side of that is, it is very healthy and it is very good to see the positive things that your children are doing. Okay, the good things that they're doing, the responsibility that they take, the way that they apply themselves properly, when they work hard, when they accomplish various things, it is good both to see those things and also to talk about them. Hey, this is where you did a good job. You really did well on this. Okay? I was really blessed to see you doing whatever. Those types of things build a child up. Those things are edifying. And I would say, just to be transparent with you, that this is an area that I'm probably weak in. I tend to be, I don't view myself as a terrible critic, but I'm not as active in pointing out the good and calling attention to it as I could be. And that's an area where I want to improve. So you don't want to be abusive. You don't want to be critic. You do want to communicate and express love to your children. It is very important that children understand that they are valued, that they are appreciated, that they are wanted, and that they are loved. That is what helps a child to feel good, to feel secure, to realize that they have a proper place in this world, and also that they fit in their family. And so I know some of us would have grown up perhaps in homes where physical affection was not practiced. The parents did not show any kind of physical affection for children. And I would say if you're from that type of a situation, it's not maybe going to be natural for you to do that. Okay. Nevertheless, it is important for you to learn how to do that. It is important for you to grow in that area and to communicate very clearly to your children that you love them and that you appreciate them. I know a number of people, and I can think of one man right now, as I spoke to him, and he just with tears shared with me the rejection that he felt from his father. And he told me, you know, I know my dad loved me, he said, but I just never saw it. And tremendously painful in his life, and it has affected his life in a very negative way. He has struggled in a lot of ways. And part of it goes back to that relationship that wasn't what it should have been. And he suffered because of it. The goal that I have tonight, if you want to turn back to Malachi chapter 4, it's the last verses in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. He writes at verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I'm using that phrase that's there. To turn the heart of the fathers and mothers to the children. To turn the heart of the children to their parents. If we can help to turn things around, it will make a huge difference in people's lives. It will make a huge difference in the church. It will be really tremendously important. I want to address the children, and if your parents have failed you, you see that there were some serious things done, and I know all parents we're all imperfect, I think we all realize that, but if you see that your parents have failed you, your parents have sinned against you, that they have wronged you in some of the ways that we have discussed, want to share some things with you. Number one is, as we talked about this morning, it can be good if you are able to actually communicate, to share with your parents what is wrong, what they have done, and to actually confront them with that. That is a good thing to do, and can be a very difficult thing, but it is a good thing to do, and maybe in doing that, you may be able to help your parent to see what is wrong, and that would be good for them to try to correct it. Maybe you're grown, maybe you're not in the relationship you were in when you were at home, and we can't really redo that, we know that, but we can actually experience confession and repentance and forgiveness, and there can be some healing there and reconciliation, and that can be a really, really good thing if that can happen. Maybe your parents are dead, maybe you've tried, maybe they don't respond properly. Maybe you feel like there's just no way to try to get them to see and to get them to acknowledge and correct their sins. If that is the case, you can bring your issues to the Lord. Okay? We can't force other people to repent. We cannot force others to correct their wrongs. And in many cases, people will not correct their wrongs. And so the issue becomes our issue to deal with, okay? Yes, it was caused by someone else, but now the issue is mine. And what I do about it is up to me. And so if I bring the issue to the Lord, if I'm willing to forgive them in my heart and bring the issue to the Lord, God can bring me the healing that I need. Okay, God is able to help me to recover, and God is able to help me to move forward in my life. So I really want to encourage you. There's so many hurting people that cannot seem to get closure over some of these issues, and the issues just fester, and they continue year after year and decade after decade. God wants to put an end to these things. God wants to make the change so that in your heart you can move forward in freedom, you can move forward with healing and wholeness, and you can live your life for the glory of God. And so I want to point you to the Lord, because in some cases, the Lord is the only one who can help us. And He can indeed help in these situations and make the difference. The other thing is, and this is one of the things that is so disturbing to see, is even children who've had negative experiences, and they know it, and they see what their parents have done that is wrong, and they don't like it, they can actually end up doing the very same things to their own children. And so the cycle kind of repeats. If you remember the scripture there, if you want to turn back to Exodus 20, we hear a lot about generational sins, and I'm not an expert in generational sins, I'll tell you that right now, but I do have my perspective on this, and I'll share with you as best I can my understanding, okay? So here it says in Exodus 20, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. It's talking about, I'm going to go to verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. So you're not supposed to worship images or idols. But notice, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, I bring this scripture up for a couple of reasons. One reason is there are some people who think that because their parents and their grandparents and prior generations were involved in iniquity and sin, that they are doomed. They are actually doomed to repeat it, and they quote this verse, verse 5. God is going to visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. I will say this, if we look at the verse carefully, there's more to the verse than that. The end of the verse says, of them that hate me. Okay? This can actually happen to you. Okay? It definitely can. But it will only happen to you if you hate God. Okay? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you do not hate God, you are not in the position of receiving this ongoing passing of iniquity. But there is a danger that we need to be aware of as people, that if I do not stand in rejection of the sins, okay, if I do not say no to the sins of the fathers, okay, the sins of the mothers, there is a danger that I may repeat those, okay? And it's very likely that I'm more vulnerable to those things than someone else because of what has happened before me and their influence in my life. So there is definitely a danger in that. And I could talk more about that, but the idea of the generational sins, you are not doomed. You are absolutely not doomed to repeat the sins of your parents, but recognize those sins and turn away from them. Reject them. Say no to them. And I could talk some more about that, but I don't think I'm going to go any further on that subject. So I want to say, as a child, honor your parents. Okay? What you can, as much as you can, honor your parents for the good that you see in them. And I know we've talked a lot here about problems and difficulties, but I also want to say this. If you have good parents, parents who have treated you well, parents that have done well in raising you, parents who have loved you, parents who have shown you by example and by teaching what it means to follow Christ and have led you to Jesus Christ, you should be thanking them. You should be telling them, thank you so much for what you have done for me. Thank you for the good things that you have done. And even if your parents, you know, have some challenges, have some problems, still, you may see good things there. Thank them. Honor them. Encourage them for the good things that they have done. My hope tonight is that the children here be able to understand that if you obey and honor your parents, there is blessing for you. It's mentioned here, verse 3, back in Ephesians 6, but it will be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. I think that's about all that I have to share here for this evening. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, give you an opportunity for testimony also if you have that. If you have any question or comment or concern or a correction, we'll open things up here at this time.
Thank you for the reminder.
I'm sorry, say that again.
To get through that letter, no.
Well, like I said, I've been formulating for a long time. I don't have it very well organized, maybe, but it's not something I never thought of before. Let's put it that way. I've spent time on it. Yeah, appreciate that. Anyone else?
I think it's good for us all to be reminded that you can't move on.
Yes.
Trying to come up with the same sayings. But anyway, there's one that says, as an adult, we are not a product of our circumstances. We are a product of our choices.
Yes.
And we can't deny our circumstances. We can't deny where we came from. But as adults, as we have a relationship with God, we can move forward.
Absolutely.
Can be different. And I like what you said, that we don't have to be held to a generational curse.
No.
Those chains can be broken.
Absolutely.
So thank you for sharing those.
Yes. You are not doomed, brothers and sisters. You are not doomed to fail. If your parents have failed, you are not doomed to repeat their failures. Absolutely not. Jesus makes a better way. And I thank God for that in my life, because I didn't have the best example, you know, with my dad. I didn't know how to lead. I didn't know what to do as a father and as a husband. But God helped me. God helped me. My wife has helped me. I thank from the bottom of my heart the teachers in my life, the men of God, who presented to me the Word of God. And when I discovered the Word of God, I found the answers that I was looking for. I found the direction that I needed. And God helped me. And I praise God for that. I thank God for that. And He will do the same for you. There's no doubt about it. God will do the very same thing for you if you seek Him and if you ask. Anyone else?
I want to say thank you for sharing that's not in your past, but also it's given me to think that blame your parents for the mistakes they made. But when you understand where they came from, how far they got from where they started, it's easy to forgive things that upset you in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, brother. You brought up a really good point that I wish I'd have thought of, so I'm going to go with it. Do not blame your parents for your problems. Should have said it before, and I wish I had. Do not go back to your parents when you have your own sin issues and you're not following Christ as you're supposed to, and say, well, it's because this. Don't blame your parents, and don't blame anyone. Take responsibility for your own life. When you stand on your own two feet before the Lord, sincerely and honestly, God will help you to move forward. When you point the finger, you will never make progress. You will never move forward. you will be stuck the rest of your life floundering and playing the blame game. It's not going to work for you. Thank you, brother, for that. Okay, anyone else?
Fixing. So that's just something I've noticed. It's definitely a powerful thing.
Yes.
Might not pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hallelujah. I appreciate you doing that, and God will bless you in that. You continue to seek for that, and God will help you to make progress so that you can. We want to break the cycles that are of the enemy. We want to break the chains that are of the enemy. God is able to break them, okay? We just have to stand with Him, okay? We have to look to Him. He is able to do what needs to be done. We must put our confidence completely in Him. Okay, anyone else? Appreciate that very much. Appreciate your input.
Encouragement to show love and appreciation. As I think of my upbringing and also my relationship with my children, I realize that it's pretty easy to just live around each other and assume that everyone's doing okay. And maybe get too focused on the provoke not or like the don'ts and not have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems like it's extremely easy to I guess I'd call it habitate the same, live in the same house, but actually not really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I'm exposing my own weakness, but I feel like I'm putting the effort into communicating and drawing people out, sharing with them. If I'm too busy in my own little world, like I'm for other people's world to influence me. And
mm-hmm.
when I have a relationship with my kids and I want to show my parents that I love them too, and I realize living at a distance, it can be easy to just forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, wanted to thank you for your encouragement.
Yeah, good, good. You can do it. You can definitely do it. Very good. Okay, anyone else?
Well, what occurred to me is being very supportive of raising your children, and size mistakes, and you don't let the size too late, you know, we can move forward trying to get that out. I would say that's kind of the position that the 3/4 of going through was trying to think, where am I at? There's conflict. So I want to take a year forward and be better. And it doesn't mean that there haven't been good things, but there have also been things that I could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah. There are times where we wish, wow, I wish I hadn't gotten where I am. But repentance, while it's available, pursue it. Change is possible. We definitely want to pursue that. Very good. Anyone else? Appreciate the input. You know, I've been to a lot of meetings where you preach and then you sing and then you leave. And there's no opportunity for interaction. There's no different perspective. There's no other voice that can speak. If you remember in 1 Corinthians 14, it says there that the... one is supposed to speak, and if someone else has something, then he's to hold his peace and to give opportunity and there to be multiple voices. And I just really have appreciated the value of that. I wasn't raised with that practice, but I see it as very much, much more in line with Scripture, and it gives an opportunity for the work of the Spirit of God in the body to be manifested, and just appreciate your willingness to do that and to share. It's really helpful to do that. Okay, anyone else? Yes, brother.
Just thinking about the message and going back over my own life, reminding me of 1 Corinthians talks about your fathers promoting your children. And one day that was me. I was frustrated and justified myself because of the faults that I seen in my parents. And the Lord helped me to overcome that. And I think what He showed me is my parents weren't doing that intentionally. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I was able to work through that, and I could come to a place where it talks about honoring our names.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very helpful to me when I came to that understanding.
Yes.
It was happening, but it was intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the challenging realities of life is to actually see yourself for what you are, and when we look at that, we realize that I got a lot of room for progress. You know, there's some things I could learn, some things I could change, and there's things about me that I may be doing that I'm not even aware of. You know, and so be open to some guidance there and some revelation. Appreciate that. Okay, anyone else? All right, if not, let's stand together tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Steve if he would close for us in prayer, and I think I'd like for us to have a song, so if you can pick a song there, brother, for us, appreciate that. Let's join together in prayer, Brother Steve.
The other thing is all else. But thank you for this. It's the greatest appreciation that you just play the word.
Amen.